the impeachment inquiry hearings go public. The U.S. collects a record $7 billion in tariffs.
These tariffs, you know, it's important to note, are paid by U.S. companies. And so a lot of U.S. companies feel very strongly that this is essentially a form of corporate taxation.
And the impact of Tuesday's results on election 2020 and President Trump. It's Wednesday, November 6th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. After weeks of testimony behind closed doors, the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump will hold its first public hearings next week. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff made the announcement today.
Those open hearings will be an opportunity for the American people to evaluate the witnesses for themselves, to make their own determinations about the credibility of the witnesses, but also to learn firsthand about the facts of the president's misconduct.
Bill Taylor, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, and George Kent, the deputy assistant secretary of state, will testify on Wednesday. Marie Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, will testify on Friday. All three have already testified in the closed-door hearings. Lawmakers released a transcript of Taylor's closed-door testimony today. According to the transcript, Taylor told lawmakers that it was his, quote, clear understanding that the release of aid to Ukraine was linked to investigations sought by President Trump. A federal judge in New York has struck down a Trump administration rule that would have allowed medical providers to opt out of participating in medical procedures to which they had religious or moral objections. 19 states and family planning groups had sued over the rule, which had been set to take effect later this month. The rule sought to expand enforcement of protections for conscious objections to procedures such as abortion or assisted suicide at hundreds of thousands of health organizations. California's attorney general says Facebook hasn't adequately complied with subpoenas issued in June as part of the state's privacy investigation into the social network. Prosecutors in the state began investigating Facebook in 2018 after the company said data from as many as 87 million of its users may have been improperly shared with now-defunct consulting firm Cambridge Analytica. In a legal filing, California said it doesn't believe Facebook has searched the emails of its CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, or its COO, Sheryl Sandberg, in response to the subpoena. Facebook said it has cooperated extensively with the state's investigation and that it has provided thousands of pages of written responses as well as documents. Pete Buttigieg has tried to distance himself from the consulting firm McKinsey, where he worked from 2007 to 2010. But a Wall Street Journal analysis found McKinsey employees donated more to Buttigieg's campaign than to any other 2020 Democratic presidential candidate. Our John McCormick has more.
It's not surprising. He's an alum of the firm. And we're not talking huge dollars here either. About 165 McKinsey employees have given him a total of about $55,000. Just to put that in contrast, he's raised about $51 million so far. So it's a tiny amount, but because he did work at this firm and the firm has been involved with some controversial things over the years, including the opioid crisis and the Enron scandal, progressives are a little bit concerned about this chapter in his resume.
Buttigieg has given few details about his work at McKinsey, saying he can't talk about specific clients. He has said he worked on projects involving climate change and grocery pricing. New tariffs on Chinese imports of consumer goods like clothes, tools, and electronics went into effect at the beginning of September, the latest round of levies in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Today, we learned the U.S. collected $7 billion in import tariffs that month. To compare, that's an almost 60% jump from the year before. These numbers come as the U.S. and China are looking to finalize an agreement on phase one of their trade deal, which could include a rollback of those September tariffs. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun. Josh, tell us about this figure. This is a Wall Street Journal exclusive. What's behind the number here?
Well, every month we get new statistics from the Commerce Department that kind of tallies all the stuff that's coming into the country. And there's a group called Tariffs Hurt the Heartland. It's a partnership formed by all these business groups that are having to pay these tariffs, and they're upset about it. And so they've been trying to kind of push back against it. And so one of the things they've done, which is really interesting, is they've partnered with an economic analysis firm called the Trade Partnership, who calculates, who goes through, they look at all these filings, they add it all up and figure out how much in tariffs is being paid for all these different reasons. We know the numbers are really accurate because the Treasury reports the total. But what these guys are able to do that's so interesting is they're able to break it down and say, you know, which tariff is responsible for this amount of the money that's coming in. And so it gives us a really detailed look at how these tariffs are playing out and what sources of imports are being really hit.
We've also been reporting that the U.S. is considering a rollback of the last round of tariffs, which were implemented in September. From this $7 billion figure, can we conclude that this was the most damaging round in the trade fight?
That's right. I mean, the U.S. has never brought in $7 billion in 1 month from tariffs. Before all these trade tensions started about 2 years ago, the U.S. was only bringing in about $3 billion a month, or maybe $35 billion a year. That was kind of the rough pace for the last few years before all these trade tensions started. And so now that we're bringing in about $7 billion a month, it's really twice as much as it was before. And, you know, with the growth of with inflation and with the growth of global trade, those numbers are, you know, far more than anything in U.S. history. So it's really a remarkable number how much money is being brought in. And you think about over the past year, the Treasury Department's now brought in about $70 billion from tariffs. And these tariffs, you know, it's important to note, are paid by U.S. companies. And so a lot of U.S. companies feel very strongly that this is essentially a form of corporate taxation. So in that sense, this is definitely, you know, kind of taking a bite out of corporate income and out of small business income at an unprecedented amount.
Right. And the latest round also targeted consumer goods.
Right. That's one of the things that's really been different about these tariffs that took effect September 1st. Before that, when they had done these tariffs, they had largely focused on what are called intermediate goods. So it might be things like auto parts, or it might be things that, you know, chemicals and metals, things that businesses buy but that ordinary people don't. And they kind of ran out of things that are from China that are those types of goods. They kind of got to the point with China where if they wanted to do more tariffs, they had to hit consumer goods. And so that's what we saw in September. We saw them finally hit a lot of apparel categories. You know, we're seeing them starting to hit a lot of major electronics categories. And so it's really changed with September the types of goods that are being hit.
Josh, we are now looking forward to finalization of phase one of the trade deal between the U.S. and China. I'm wondering how this $7 billion figure, whether stated explicitly or not, could play into final negotiations there.
Well, it does in this sense that, like I said, because it's U.S. businesses that are paying these tariffs, they've mobilized in a big way and are really pressing the Trump administration to do something to resolve and reduce some of these tariffs. The tariffs used to apply to a much smaller amount of goods, and they used to be lower rates as well on a lot of items. Last year, the U.S. put in a big tranche of tariffs against Chinese imports, but they were only at 10%. Earlier this year, they raised that rate to 25%. So you've seen not only the amount of goods that are covered by tariffs go up, but you've seen the rate that's being applied go up. And so the pain has gotten really acute. We hear all the time from small businesses and even pretty big businesses that are struggling kind of with the amount of tariff bills that they're having to pay. And so that's really increasing the pressure on the Trump administration to, you know, get to some sort of deal, get to some sort of framework where some of these tariffs start to come off and where U.S. businesses are able to go back to doing business a little bit more as usual.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun joining us from Washington with the latest details on the trade fight between the U.S. and China. Josh, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There were some big turnovers in Tuesday's elections, and they're sure to have impacts for 2020. Our executive Washington editor, Jerry Seib, says the results are a warning sign for Republicans.
The race that everybody's looking at individually is the governor's race in Kentucky, where the governor of Kentucky, who the president had weighed in for, lost. But the second one, and I think arguably the more important one, may be the state statewide elections in Virginia, where Democrats won control of the state legislature. They previously won the governorship, and that is a result that, A, puts a state that had been red and then purple firmly in the blue category, and that's important in the long run. And B, important in the short run, is that it demonstrated that Republicans have problems in places like the Northern Virginia suburbs, where moderates and moderate Republicans and women seem to be moving toward the Democrats. If that's a trend for 2020, it's a problem for Republicans generally. It's a problem for President Trump specifically. My cautionary note would be that this is an election in which President Trump was involved but was not on the ballot. And there's a big difference between those two, because when he is on the ballot, he will probably energize voters who will show up to vote for him, who don't show up for off-year statewide elections, no matter how much he might try to get them involved.
For more on election results, head to our website at wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.